So the Lord may have plans for your life. The question is always going to be, will I yield to the plans that God has for me? And understanding that it is always by invitation, there will always be a whisper that you would hear the voice of the Lord. The question is always going to be, will I be willing to follow what the Lord is asking of me? And critically, it's important to understand that when the Lord deals with us, he deals with us, number one, as individuals, just yourself. But he also deals with us universally. He deals with us individually because we all have he has a plan and a purpose for your individual life. And then, of course, he's got a global or a universal plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. All of us are, there's a plan and a purpose for our individual lives. Then within that, we are also in the plan and in the redemptive process of God. So it means for me and for you, the question is always going to be, irrespective of your age, I have a plan for you. Will you be willing to fulfill that plan? The plan of God for you, well, let's just say we'll pick on Bert. The plan of God for Bert is going to be specific to Bert. And the plan of God for Aaron will be specific to him, and the same for Miss Justine. Which means that God is going to come to me and say, and this is just a very silly example, and he will say, for your life, all I want you to wear is Nike shoes. Now that's specific to me. For somebody else, you can wear any shoe you want. So you have to understand that when I listen to the Lord speaking to me, he's not going to say the same thing to me that he is going to say to the next person. Which tells me that if God then speaks, if he speaks to me about certain things that I should do, I shouldn't be mad or jealous of what he's doing through another person because it is specific to them. So we are now going through this is the last, I guess, in our series, Yielded. And today, as you can see, the title is Yielded in Purpose and How We Are Living for God's Greater Plan. Because it is always by invitation. I have a plan specifically for you. Let's go on this journey together. Now, if you don't want to go on the journey, that's entirely up to you. Because he's just going to say, all right, I'll just go and ask somebody else. Do you want to go on the journey with me? That other person might say, nope. Then he'll go to the next person and the next, up until he finds somebody that will say, yes, I am willing to go on the journey with you. So we are yielded to the Lord by invitation. Yielded by invitation. So we're going to look at Abraham's life and we're going to discuss purpose. And for a lot of us, we always ask ourselves, you know, okay, I was born. That was one of the most important days of my life. And then why was I born? It's always a question we're asking, what is my purpose? So like I said, that purpose refers to God's ultimate plan and intention for our lives and for the world. So this purpose is both personal and it's universal. Personal to you, to the specific calling that God has for your life, and then it's obviously universal for his redemptive plan that he has for everybody. And so you, within the redemptive plan of God through Jesus Christ, there is a specific task that the Lord has assigned to you. So that means, that tells me that we all need to feel super special. Because I should never ask myself, am I gifted? Because God has created an avenue for me to outwork his plans for my life through the redemptive process of Jesus Christ. So that means I will not, when I see somebody who's more gifted than I am, I'm going to be happy for them. Because I know that, you know what? God is so great that even in the bigness of the universal plan, the 7 or 8 billion people on the earth, there is each unique individual, each person has got a unique plan and purpose. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to walk in that for my life and not compare myself to anybody else. So yielding to God's purpose means I have to allow him to guide my life, trusting that his plan is better than what it might be if I do things by myself. I don't give up who I am, but rather I trust and I adjust my dreams so they fit into God's bigger plan for us. And the reason I know this, that God speaks to us as individuals, is that some of you are called to be evangelists. You go out and you speak to everybody. Some are called to be intercessors. Your specific purpose. So I am not going to be mad at the intercessor if I'm an evangelist, because I'm just going to say, well, how can we partner with one another so that we can all fulfill the plan and call of God for our lives? This is the key thing that would perhaps we may struggle with, is that, do you have a plan for my life? Because when I look at somebody else, they seem more gifted than me. They seem so much better than me at this. So therefore, that means that maybe I'm no good. I will look at my life and I'll say, I've missed the boat. I am 70 plus years old. I've missed my turn. What we have learned from the life of Abraham is that he was essentially called at the age of 75, which tells me that all of us in here have a chance to do something for the Lord. Amen? Amen. So Abraham, when we look at his example, he started, his plan was not to only be blessed for himself, but to be a blessing for other people. And so we know that he had to trust and to yield to God's plan for his life. And then we know that Abraham was the foundational figure in God's story of redemption. Because through Abraham, then came Isaac, and then all the way down up until the Lord Jesus Christ. So this tells me that we are all within God's plan, and we have a specific role to play. If you are a parent, you have an even more important role to play, because you are there to usher in you are part of that redemptive process of God through your children and through their children. Amen? In Genesis chapter 17, and I'm going to skip as we go along, but Genesis 17 verse 1 to 8. So it says, when Abram was 99, remember he was called when he was 75. And then when he was 86, in fact, God called him. And then later on, through encounter with God, God first called him, this is in Genesis chapter 12, and said, come and I'll take you to a land that I will show you. As he was consistently having encounters with God, that purpose and vision of God was getting bigger and bigger. It was being revealed to him bit by bit. Which that tells us that God would reveal things to us. If we say yes, he'll reveal a bit and a bit and a bit. And the more we trust, amen, the more we trust, the more we yield, the more he what? Reveals. So it says, when he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. So at this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Once more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram, which means exalted father. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. God goes on to explain all the things that he would do through Abraham. And he says, this is an everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So parents, You have a responsibility. That it's not just about God for yourself, it's about the God of your descendants after you. So we can see that God has a plan for our lives that are bigger than us. It's not just about us, but it's about the next and the next. So this tells me that I have a responsibility as a parent to remain committed to the Lord, to remain devoted to the Lord, to remain yielded to the Lord, so that I can set up my children for what God has for them. Amen? And then in John 12, verse 1 to 6, we come across a very interesting character. This was just before the Passover, 6 days before the Passover celebration. Jesus arrived at the home of Lazarus, and this is the same man he had raised from the dead. And so it says that Martha was serving, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of all the money, he often stole some for himself. Often. So you might start off, this tells me that when we start off our journeys with the Lord, we might have some issues that we have to deal with. We might have some attitudes that we have to let go of. And if we don't let go of them, there will come a time where we are in a position, and then all of a sudden those issues that we are facing will be exposed. So if I have a stealing problem, the last job I want to take is to be a cashier. If I know that I've got sticky fingers, why would I put myself through that? Because I know that I will always find an opportunity to do what? To want to steal. So if you have issues, my encouragement is always deal with your issues. Because when the Lord elevates you and you haven't dealt with your issues, you are going to be exposed. He then talks about Judas in Matthew chapter 26, and Judas Iscariot went to the leading priest and said, "How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?" And so they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And then he says, from that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. He then goes on to say in Luke chapter 22, verse 47 to 48, that Jesus walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. Because that was the sign that, hey, the guy that I kiss on the cheek, that's the Jesus you're looking for. So Judas had a problem. He had a big problem that he was just somebody that had an issue with greed. And greed took over him. What happens when we don't deal with our stuff? Those things take over our lives. And the problem with that is that it will actually hinder the plan of God for your life. Whether I have got anger issues, whether I have gossiping issues, if you're living by yourself, you may have anger issues, but that's not a problem because you're staying by yourself. The moment you are surrounded by other people, there's always an opportunity for that anger to do what? To rise up. This is even compounded when you're a parent and then you've got children. And then when they do something to tick you off, guess what's going to happen to that good old anger? Whoop. And it's going to come out and say some things, some hurtful things. This is why when we have our problems, let's deal with our problems before they impact other people. Abraham lived a life that was yielded to God's purpose. He chose to live for God's promises, even when they seemed impossible, whereas our friend Judas pursued his own agenda, ultimately leading to his own betrayal. So the question I have is that, are there areas in your life where you are hesitant to align with God's plan? Are there areas in your life where you are hesitant to align with God's plan? You'd rather still do what you want to do, even though you may know what God wants you to do. So surrendering control of our lives can be a challenge. We all want to retain some level of what? Control. But like I said earlier, when God comes and deals with us, it's by invitation. Will you allow me to lead you and guide you? Will you wrest control of your life to me? And that's what I have to decide. Will I give him control of my life? Or will I desire to retain or remain on the driver's seat of my life because I know what's best for me? Or do I surrender to what God wants to do and trust that his plan is better than my plan? Abraham allowed God to shape his future. He trusted God with the timing of Isaac's birth. Judas, on the other hand, struggled with control. He wanted the money. He wanted things for himself, leading to actions that directly opposed Jesus' mission for his life. How often do we find ourselves trying to control outcomes instead of trusting God? Maybe parents were really good at this. We tell our kids what they're going to study or what they're going to do. And there's nothing wrong with some good old guidance. It's very good. In fact, it's important that we give them guidance. Not necessarily try and tell you, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. How often do we find ourselves trying to wrest control instead of trusting God through whatever we're going through? And also, I guess that another question to that is, how can surrendering control to God bring peace in my life? If I surrender control to God, how much peace will that bring to my life? Because maybe the peace I'm not feeling is a result that I want to control everything. Everything has to work to a specific schedule. It has to work to my schedule. And if it doesn't, then I won't let go. There are some reasons why we fail to surrender control. Perhaps I'll give you a few. We cling to our personal desires over God's purpose. Judas' attachment to money and personal gain led him to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, disregarding God's redemptive plan. So God had a plan through Jesus, but he couldn't care less. All he wanted was what was good for him. Perhaps we cling to our dreams, our career goals, our desires that don't align with God's will. The problem with what Judas did, if we learn from him, is that the resistance that he had to deal with his issues blocked the greater blessings of God that God wanted to bring into his life. So what are you holding on to that may prevent you from fully yielding to God's purpose? What are you holding on to that may prevent you from fully yielding to God's purpose? Fear of losing control. Remember that when Abraham was called, he was a wealthy guy. His stuff was going on in his life. It's not like he was just a guy who was standing and doing nothing. Everything was going for him. But God said, let me show you something even better for you. And so he released control by leaving his homeland. So we want to control different aspects of our lives, relying on our own understanding rather than trusting what God's guidance is for your life. So we're encouraged through Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. So this relationship that we have with God, he doesn't expect you to be perfect right from the jump, but it is about gradually learning to walk with him, to hear his voice, to know when God is saying to you, go left and go right, do this and do that. Surrendering your plans to say, hey, Lord, this is what I would like to do. God might say, yep, keep going. On other times, he might say, no, don't do that. So this is where, because we're becoming intimate with him, we're able to listen to what his guidance is for our lives. Sometimes we ignore conviction and we rationalize our actions. We ignore conviction and we rationalize our actions. We justify certain actions to align with our own will rather than God's, ignoring the Holy Spirit's gentle promptings to live in alignment with God's purpose. So for example, I know that I should not steal. But then I say, oh, but come on, Woolworths, they're a billion-dollar company. Surely they're not going to miss $100 from the till. I know. And you know what? All of us know when we're doing wrong. Is that not true? But guess what we choose to do? We choose to ignore to do the right thing. Who's ever had that opportunity where somebody has done something to you and you want to respond by saying some very hurtful things, and before you say it, you're having a conversation in your mind, should I say it or should I not say it? And you know the right thing to say, but you choose to say the hurtful thing, even knowing what the consequences of that are. So are there areas in your life where you feel convicted but continue to rationalize instead of yielding? And sometimes we might say, well, who is this actually hurting? I'm not hurting anybody, so I can keep doing what it is that I want to do. We choose immediate gratification over God's eternal purpose. So guess what Judas did? He prioritized the benefit of 30 pieces of silver rather than, and his relationship with the Lord, rather than God's eternal purpose. Because he says, I want the money, and I want the money now. Instead of what? Relying on the eternal purpose of God, that God has something good for you. Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord because he is good. Give thanks to the Lord because he's what? So number one, we have to believe that God is good. Therefore, if I really believe that God is good and he's got my best interest at heart, when he comes and whispers in my life, though it may be difficult for me, I know that it is for my what? It is for my good. So Abraham's yielded life transformed not only his legacy, but the world through his lineage. We know that Jesus Christ came from there. And so his obedience, his yieldedness to the Lord, that came through invitation. It wasn't forced. He wasn't forced. He just says, hey, do you want to go on this journey with me? And he said, yes. And what I would ask for you, if the Lord says anything to you, you have to say what? And this is what happens when we are transformed through our yieldedness. Genesis 22 verse 15 says, this is what the Lord says. This was after he had taken his son to sacrifice him, and the Lord said, don't sacrifice your son. Now this is the conversation that happened afterwards. It says, this is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. So there is a benefit of obeying the Lord, of us not choosing the shortcut, of waiting on God's plan for your life. Wait until God has provided whatever it is that you need from him. And don't settle for second best. Because guess what? The world or outside there, they're going to tell you, whatever you want to do, do it now. And settle for second best, even though the consequences are dire. And I would say to all of us, let us be willing to pay the price that we need to pay to say, God, because you are good, I am going to trust you that you have my interest at heart. If you say to me, don't wait up until you're married to have sex, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait. Even though the world says, do it now. I'm going to wait. There's so many things we can talk about that we'll always have the opportunity to choose a life that is contrary to the best that God has for us. And what we have to say is, we will wait. So, as we finish, what legacies are we creating by our willingness or lack thereof to yield to God? You know that song, The Pied Piper of Hamelin? You always pay the what? You always pay the piper. So whether we like it or not, there is always a price that is paid. And my encouragement this morning is that we will be those that are willing to pay the price so that our legacies, the legacies of your children, of their children's children, are going to be, by the decisions that we've made, are going to be intact, that they will follow the Lord. 30 years from now is a long time, but guess what? It goes very quickly. God has a plan and a purpose for everybody in here that is beyond their own immediate life. And so we are my encouragement to us that let us be willing to hold on to what God has for us. And so, understand this, that just because I'm close to the Lord doesn't guarantee a yielded heart. Judas was close to Jesus, but his heart was not yielded to him. He still chose his own way. And we know what actually ended up happening to Judas. He went and he took back the 30 pieces of silver and said, I don't want them. And then eventually, old Judas hung himself. Can we all stand this morning as we finish? Jesus lived his entire life in perfect alignment with the Father's purpose. This is why he says in John 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Jesus showed us what it means to yield to God's greater plan, even when it involves suffering and sacrifice. This is why I say that what God will whisper to Bert is not what he'll whisper to Donovan or to Janine. It will be specifically different. But this is why we say, Lord, whatever it is your will is, that's the will that I am willing to follow. So, are you ready to fully yield your yield your life completely to the Lord, to God's purpose? And I think what I would ask for us this week is that reflect on areas where you may be resisting God's purpose. And what steps can you take this week to align your life more fully with His will? And so I just want to bring this, we're finished now. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, carrying on from what Mr. Elvis was saying, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And this is a question that he was asking. It is an open invitation. As he was saying this through, this is an encounter that Isaiah had with the Lord. And in through this encounter, the question came, who should I send as a messenger, and who will go for us? And we know what Isaiah said. He says, send me, I will go. So he was willing via encounter with the Lord to say, hey, I'm willing to go for you. And I wonder this morning if the Lord is speaking to you, will you say, yes, I will go? Whatever it is that means for my life, I am willing to go, and I'm willing to do what it is that you want for my life. Abraham answered the call of the Lord. David did the same. Gideon, Peter, and John. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It was within their rights to say, no, I don't want to go. Even though the Bible doesn't state that these guys had a choice, they had a choice to make. You have a choice to make. Will I say yes to the Lord? So we're going to, I think we should start singing. So that by the time I say, you know, we are already cranked up. And I just want to, as we finish, just this, I sense the Lord saying, you will make a personal decision to say, yes, I will go. Yes, Lord, whatever it is that you want for my life, no matter what my age is, I am willing to be sent by you. And what I'm going to ask is that as we sing the song, you're going to take a step of faith by yourself, and you're going to come and stand here, and we'll just quickly maybe just pray with you, and then you can go back to your seats as we finish.